Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Good morning. It's 7:05, January the 31st. The month is over today. Looks like it's going to be a pretty nice day today. Rained a lot over the weekend. And right now I'm trying to get used to the new sound of the microphones because we run through some new equipment we just brought in.
And
it sounds different.
We're going to be changing up some things this year. We're really excited. And, of course, we just always spill it out as it goes down.
Yeah. Anyway, hey, we're joined today by Bad Bob.
And good morning.
How are you doing today, Bad Bob?
Having a great day. The little crescent moon this morning and the days are starting a little bit earlier, and I'm enjoying it.
Well, good. Now, how about the rain this weekend? Is that okay?
This last weekend, we needed it. You know, and it was kind of a drag in that we were trying to accomplish some work. As you know, we're gearing up for the crab feed, and that's been our lives and will be our life for this entire week. But we went out and we helped a friend set up a radio antenna for his ham radio outfit and had fun doing that.
How fun.
And speaking of fun, here she is.
Well, good morning. And I did poke my head in a couple times this weekend, and we're excited about our new artist lounge that's going to be going up in the back there. And we'll be able to hang, actually, Ty Boss will be our first artist that we will be hanging his work. And we're excited about that. So hopefully, you know, in the next couple of weeks, we'll have that done. Today, morning frost this morning, of course, going to be the high temperatures today of 68. It's currently 42 degrees. On this day, President Dwight Eisenhower received a telephone call shortly after 10:48 a.m. in 1958. The call was on his direct line to Cape Canaveral, Florida. What the president heard was the launch of Explorer 1. The first satellite that Explorer 1 was successful. Explorer 1 was put into orbit around the Earth by a Jupiter C rocket. Radio signals from the transmitter aboard the 30.8-pound satellite were picked up in California within a few minutes after the launch. Just 56 days earlier, the U.S. attempt to launch a satellite had failed. This time, the Army Ballistic Missile Agency's research team, headed by Werner von Braun, a former German rocket scientist, and the director of their development operations divisions, worked in conjunction with the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. I find this fascinating because my dad was an aeronautical engineer from Aerojet. In California, produced a modified Jupiter C rocket that would carry Explorer 1.
We have a friend who one of her father was on that team of German scientists who were brought over, and the story she tells about how isolated they were in those early days is very interesting. But
because they were Nazis.
Well, but given the
our
choice,
Nazis were better than the Russian Nazis.
Yeah, well, and it was literally they drew straws to figure out who was going where. It was a little scary.
Yeah, it was a long story about that one, yeah.
Well, my dad worked for Aerojet for 32 years, and all of his family, all of his brothers and his father were in aerospace. Northrop, and then, like I said, my Aerojet was one of the main employers in the Sacramento Folsom area. And my dad worked in, they had called liquids or solids. And you're growing up, you don't even think about these things until later on. And so you would jump from department to department, but he was on one of the space shuttles. His department was integral, where they made a piece of equipment that did go into the shuttle. And so he was able to go back to Florida and watch the launching because his team was part of went out to space.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
It is.
You know, today on our show, we're going to be talking about, you know, some national things. What's happening in Egypt? We're going to be talking about how do you cut the budget at one point, or that deficit, that $1.5 trillion deficit. There's a new senator by the name of Paul that has some ideas. And if you when you read about him, you're going to, or we talk about him, you're going to say, you know, do we want to cut the budget that much, that deficit that much? Because if you're going to cut it, it's going to take some dramatic cuts. Also, if you remember Sheriff Basenko being on, and also Jim Nielsen you know, and talking about what happens if that money is cut away from the budget, but also about releasing parolees, or not parolees, but releasing felons back to us to put them in jail, and the impact that can have on us, the fact that it can't work because we don't have enough money. We're going to be have Patrick Jones here, member of the city council. He's going to be talking about charter cities, but also what's going on with Costco. That's later on, all during Free Fire Radio Day. So, Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. Hey, our phone lines here are 530-605-4567. Go to KCNR1460.com on your computer, and you can hear us streaming, and you can jump into the chat room. 7:14 in the morning, January the 31st, 2011. January's gone.
Come and join us on our chat room, like Carl said. Hey, today morning, frost high of 66, partly cloudy tonight with a low of 37. It's currently 42 degrees. Beautiful day out. Going to be wonderful. And it looks like we're going to have a wonderful week up until Friday. So that means great walking weather, good doggy park weather. Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, our favorite destination getaway. And, yeah, the musicians are starting to weigh in. I will be able to announce soon the bookings that we have, at least up until the end of April, and some in May. So every weekend when you go up to Anselmo, there'll be music. And don't forget Valentine's weekend. I think they have reservations on Friday and Saturday night. Their brunch is probably full on Sunday with Candace LaVolsey, but you've got Friday and Saturday night. So hit up there, 474-5546. You know, it's so funny. When we had Chef John Stadelli on, some people said, we are so happy you archived, because he was throwing some Super Bowl recipes at us. And people were like, well, wait a minute, I'm driving. I want to write that down. So they went back into our archives, and we had several comments.
Well, you
know, else that's going to be happening today?
That's right. Joshua Munns, we had it in, if you look at, yeah, it's on the blog and everything that I write for the Record Searchlight. But Joshua Munns, there's going to be a dedication of Corporal Munns Memorial Park bench today at 4 p.m. at the Veterans Park over in Anderson River Park. So it's going to start at 4 p.m. Small ceremony there just to commemorate this bench and to remember Corporal Joshua Munns, United States Marine Corps, kidnapped in Iraq in 2006 and then killed by unknown terrorist the year after that. Anyway, 4 o'clock, and we'll talk about it again in the next hour, but join us for the dedication of Corporal Munns' bench. Today, 4 p.m., Veterans Park, Anderson River Park.
It's a bench. That's really fabulous.
No, yeah, and it was made by Outdoor Creations.
They are so generous. We want to give a shout out to them again. The Outdoor Creations, the folks
who did it for free.
They have been so generous to our community. So a shout out to that locally owned company.
It is. It's out of Anderson.
Creations.
Good people. And you know what? He doesn't want anything for this. And in fact, was embarrassed when I brought it up and said, "Hey, I'm going to put it in a blog so people can read about it." And was embarrassed. But he just does these kind of things for our community. And, you know, you can't say enough about somebody like that. So we always ring the bell for that man. You know, people that are interested or a little bit concerned about health care and the fact how it could change the fabric of health care in our nation. And if you don't believe me, ask 78% of the doctors who believe it could have a serious detrimental impact on health care in this nation, and the ones that were in that poll. And they're fearful because of how the government, what the government's going to do to health care. They're fearful in the sense of they're going to be forced how to do things, and you should be fearful in the fact that the government's going to tell you how to have your health care. You know, it says it doesn't, but already people are starting to lose their doctors. Anyway, a Florida judge may become the second judge to declare President Barack Obama's health care reform law unconstitutional, and the biggest legal challenge yet to federal authority to enact a law. This judge, Roger Vinson in Pensacola, Florida, was expected to rule on a lawsuit brought by governors and attorney generals from 26 United States, almost all of whom are Republicans. Obama is a Democrat. I don't know how important that is. Anyway, the health care overhaul, cornerstone of Obama's presidency, aims to expand health insurance to cover millions of uninsured Americans. While also, wait a minute, curbing cost. The administration officials insist it is constitutional. It's business. It's kind of like a tax that they can charge people for their insurance, that they can force people like Nate, who's in here. How old are you, Nate?
32.
Government can force you to buy insurance now. And if you don't buy insurance, they can fine you. And I guess eventually put you in jail, which then you get better health care than you would anyway if it's a California jail. And then when you come out, when you're healthy, because they can't keep you very long, they'll ship you right back home here. And then we can look at you over here. So, and this terrible thing of not buying health insurance. And people say, oh, they won't put you in jail. Yes, they will. Of course they will. Of course they will, if you don't buy it. Because at some point, they have to do that. Because otherwise, no, I'm not going to do that. No, nope, not going to do it. The government can then, you know, this is the bottom line. You have to buy the health insurance. And this is what the big thing is. This is why the states are saying you can't force us to do that. It's going to cost us money. It's unconstitutional. Anyway, hey, we've got to take a quick break here. We come back, we're going to be talking about a number of other things here.
Our guest at 8 o'clock is Patrick Jones. We're going to be talking about, guess what, Charter City and all of the other things. You want to get into the chat room and make your calls. This is Carl and Linda Vaught on KCNR 1460.
Yeah. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Vaught, good morning. 7:23 in the morning, January the 31st, last day of January, 2011. You won't have January to kick around anymore, Bad Bob. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Lumberjacks right on 501 East Cypress. Breakfast specials, my friends. Monday through Friday, $3.99, ham and eggs. For a dollar more, chicken fried steak. And for $5.99, New York steak and eggs. Great portions, great food. You know, in today's economy, you can get some really good food at a real decent price right there at Lumberjacks. They have a number of other specials. We'll talk about them later. But that's Lumberjacks, 501 East Cypress. We've eaten there. We really enjoy it, and you will too.
Well, for those of you who like award shows, you know, the Screen Actors Guild Awards were last night.
Let me say what I always say. Self-licking ice cream cones.
Well, this is Screen Actors Guild is, you know, they vote amongst themselves. So I wanted to give you a list of the, well, the Academy is different, which is going to be February 27th. The only dilemma I have with that, and here's the thing, I can always tape the Academy Awards. The Rat Pack, coming up I'm going to be giving you more information about the Rat Pack, is coming to the convention center the same night. So that's going to be awesome, and we're going to do a whole tribute around that. But let's talk about the ensemble for Best Picture is The King's Speech. Okay, The King's Speech, 12 Oscar nominations. The one second to that, of course, was True Grit, one of our favorites. We haven't seen The King's Speech yet, but leading actor was Colin Firth, and the leading actress is Natalie Portman in The Black Swan. Supporting actor Christian Bale in The Fighter, supporting actress Melissa Leo in The Fighter, and for television, a drama ensemble, which is one of our favorites, was Boardwalk Empire. Looking forward to another season there. A comedy ensemble was Modern Family. So there you go. Just thought I'd tell you about that. And it was nice last night. We watched, not the entire evening, but we watched a segment, and at least it wasn't like the Golden Globes where it was just, at least there was more of a respectful air in the room.
Well, you know, respect is, but Ernest Borgnine received a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah, I looked him up on Internet Movie Database. Well over 200 films and television shows to his credit. He is still working doing voiceovers for SpongeBob SquarePants, of all things, at the age of 96. And he says he doesn't think he deserves a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Well, I will tell you that two things. We watched Marty over the weekend, and I just thought, I kept looking at Carl and said, this is such a beautiful film. The dialogue is so rich. What a great, that is a timeless film. Second of all, at the Golden Boot Awards, I was there with Ernest Borgnine as I was backstage with him. And who, okay, tell me the guy again. I'm sorry, drawing a blank.
Who did the what?
Fistful of Dollars, the guy who did.
Clint Eastwood?
No, 6 Million. Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
Oh, Eli Wallach.
Eli Wallach.
Oh, okay.
So there was Eli Wallach and Ernest Borgnine backstage, and I mean he had to be 80, about 85 at this point, and he comes bolting up. I mean, like, not walking up the stairs, running up the stairs. He was, his incredible energy off stage. This was an, this was backstage, by the way, when he ran up the stairs. He didn't have to do that. So he had incredible energy, and so did Eli Wallach at that time, which was, you know, 7 years ago. And I just, they were just such a class act, the two of them. So, like, enriched in our cultural history when it comes to film and theater.
Cut from that same cloth as old Jack Palance. Remember that, Oscars?
Yes. Who can forget?
Well, you know, here's my only story you're going to hear me talk about on, it has to do with stars and all that. The producer of the Golden Boot Award, as I was riding my bike through Utah, I met him there for a lunch, my friend and I did, and as he was talking, and a nice guy, real nice guy, and I'd never met him before, and I was, it was before I'd gone to the Golden Boot. I'd said I was going to go, and when he heard I was riding through Utah, he wanted to meet. So we met, and he was talking about Ernest Borgnine, and a couple other actors getting, you know, doing some, you know, the Walk of Fame down in Hollywood. And he said they were there, and they were doing it for a director, and who had Raquel Welch in it and all that. And he mentioned my wife. And I looked at him for a while, and he's talking, and I said, "You're married to Raquel Welch?" And he goes, "Oh, yeah, I was married for 6 years." And he keeps talking, and I'm looking at him, and he's not an imposing, not an imposing type of guy, and I'm looking at him, and I, you know, like 5 minutes later, I said, "You were married to Raquel Welch?" And he says, "Well, yeah, I was married to Raquel Welch." And I didn't want to ask him a third time; it would have been embarrassing to me. But then he's also had been engaged to Linda Evans, who was, you know, from Big Valley, has made all, you know, just a beautiful, beautiful lady, and he was engaged to her too. And to this day, you know, I attribute it all to the fact he was a former Marine. Anyway.
look where it got you.
you know,
all kinds of interesting things.
We've got what? We got like a minute left. You know, we had two fires over the weekend. That's really, first of all, it's a tragedy. One was right down at the end of our street.
We heard the sirens. We
heard the sirens like 4 o'clock in the morning, and they had the street on Placer and Chestnut. But then they had one in Happy Valley that was also another very destructive fire that it appears that maybe their pets saved some lives there. But, you know, fires, this time of the year, it's you know, there's still cold weather out there, and you just got to be careful. You know, putting the fire alarms and those smoke alarms in, I mean, you can get them so they're portable, so you can just stick them up and they
change
work.
Your
this
batteries.
Is something you need to do, you know, when you see things like this. Because, you know, fire's bad enough. We don't want to lose lives. We don't want to. You know, you should have something there to be able to warn your family. So, okay.
And don't keep candles lit. It could be simple as leaving a room with a candle.
When we come back, we want to talk about what's going on in Egypt. And there are some parallels between Egypt and Iran. I'm sure you see them, but we're going to try and draw some parallels. Carl Lundabaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. KCNR. 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning.
Where are you guys this morning?
7:34 in the morning, 605-4567, KCNR1460.com, and then start chatting with us.
It's just you and me in the chat room, and it's not a pretty sight, so we got to get some more people in here.
That's right.
Well, you know, when Patrick Jones comes on in about 30 minutes, I'm sure he's going to light some fires.
B&T Satellites bringing you this portion of the show. It's at 1345 Liberty Street. 244-1988, Doug Tooley puts in dish satellite, does a great job, he guarantees his work. Don't call the 800 number, call 244-1988, talk to Doug or Heather, and he'll come down with his crew, all local guys, buy local, stay local. That's B&T Satellite.
Yeah, I wanted to share with you this weekend, and of course I can't quote verbatim because I didn't bring the article in with me, I just know that in one of the magazines I was reading, we're both catching up on our reading this weekend, that there is an uprise in children who have that use a lot of laptop computer time, that they have a discoloration in their thighs and rashes in their thighs from that computer and the battery. I'm just saying that's kind of an indication of how bad can electronics be for you? On a continuous basis. I just think that's a sign.
If that's the case, could it also be affecting the reproductive organs?
There have been concerns about the cumulative effects of what's called non-ionizing radiation, the radio frequency, because it's never happened before in our biology. And even if an individual exposure results in something very, very tiny, the accumulated effect, and there have been questions raised, are we messing around with our DNA by these constant exposures to radio frequency energy? Now, you may notice this third arm that I'm starting to grow, but pay no attention to that.
Well, you know, I think about that, too. I know that every now and then I got to get out of the station and get, you know, there's so many electronic stuff going on here. I got to get out. And I feel differently when I'm out and taking a walk where I'm able to breathe in plant life. I do believe that, you know, the most intelligent thing on earth is truly our bodies. I really believe that. So when we start to screw around with it, electronic waves and so on and so forth, it's not going to function properly. So everything, again, in moderation. Pizza in moderation, computers in moderation, but just know that that is a study that's been done, that it is true that kids are showing an uptick or an upsurge or whatever, however you want to describe that.
Well, speaking about, you said you went out and breathed in, and you were breathing in
plant life.
Well, there's been a new bill introduced by Senator Mark Lena. I think he's a senator, he may be a assemblyman, to prohibit employers from firing qualified workers who use medical marijuana when not on the job. In other words, they have a urinalysis form later on, and they pop positive for using marijuana. They used to be able to be fired, but if they can prove that they have a recommendation, not a prescription, it's a recommendation. If they can show that they have a recommendation, then they can't be fired according to this new bill. And it's illegal not to hire solely based on medical marijuana. Now, this exempts, ready for the exemptions? Doctors, nurses, school bus drivers, heavy equipment operators, anything that's a safety-sensitive job. So my question is, then, is that truck drivers? Is that UPS drivers? Is that people who drive taxis? Is it any of these? If it's got to do with safety-sensitive jobs, then you can take those people out of it.
So ever seen what a cappuccino machine could do to your hand if you were careless?
So, well, that's right. You know, they've been known to get nasty burns.
Steam burn.
So this new bill, and they had passed this bill before, and as Leno says, it sounds like a joke, it says, well, you know what, just, you know, if you're using medicinal marijuana, it's just like any other prescribed, well, it's not prescribed, but it's any other drug to that keeps you healthy, then you're not being, you know, you're not being fired, or you're not being not hired because of that. Well, guess what? He's right. So, this new bill to prohibit employers from firing qualified workers who use medical marijuana when not on the job, and it's illegal not to hire them just because they use medical marijuana, will pass, and I'm sure Brown will sign it. I just thought, you know what, if it has nothing, if it's not bad, and if it's not, you know, if this is, you know, as people are saying, oh, wait a minute, you know, you drive safer on all this, and but yet they exempt, saying that you don't have to hire doctors, nurses, school bus drivers, heavy equipment operators. I guess you can find out what the safety-sensitive jobs are and put them, you know, I bet there's a long list of that, I would hope.
Oh, brave new world that has such things in it.
Well, we're going to take a break, but coming back, do you want to talk about the article that was on the front page of the Searchlight this Sunday?
No, I want to talk about what's happening in Egypt.
Absolutely.
Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460.
Good morning, North State. Monday morning. Feels good. Currently 39 degrees, 743. You are dialed into KCNR 1460, and our chat room is open. So you go to KCNR1460.com, click on the button, and tell us what's on your mind if you don't want to call in. If you want to call in, we'd love to hear from you, 605-4567. The portion of this show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, one of our great sponsors that have been with us since day one, Tobacco and Brew on Hilltop Drive. Espresso Joe's, go in there and see the girls. They will make you the perfect cup of, what do you want? latte, espresso, anything you want. You get in there, and also they have 16-ounce beans. You can go buy your fresh beans for the price of a regular 12-ounce. So they are the place to go. Espresso Joe's inside of Tobacco and Brew on Hilltop Drive.
Okay. Egypt. We're having, you know, there's been a week of unrest. As you know, they're talking about trying to get a million people out there. Mubarak has kept a lid on and has been the leader in Egypt for 30 years. He's kept the peace. He supported the peace in the Middle East. He has kept the peace with Israel. And now, unrest. Is Egypt a true democracy? Of course not. You know, he's got 90% of the vote for the last 30 years. I think the last election they had looked like that, you know, it was going to be an election. And somehow his opponent ended up in jail for some reason, as you do in these. But now let's talk about it. Is Saudi Arabia or Bahrain or Jordan or Iraq democracies? No. None of them are. None of them are in the Middle East. The only democracy, you can say, is Iraq. And that was imposed on them. But what does it mean if Mubarak falls? Right now he's already put in another cabinet, which is just kind of like infuriated the people. It's the same faces. But I hope you realize is that just how important Egypt is. Because through Egypt, there's something called the Suez Canal. 4 million barrels of oil a day. 4 million barrels of oil a day goes through the Suez Canal. Now, let's just talk about that. Already, the price of oil has gone up $4 a barrel. Already. We're in $90 a barrel. It'll go up to over $100 a barrel. And when it does, it's going to be, look for your $4 or $5 gallons of gas this summer. What impact does that have on us? It's not just you're not going to go on a trip that you would have gone on. It's going to also count on your food, because they've got to get the food here somehow. And to get the food here is through trucks. And if $4 a gallon or more for gas or diesel, it's going to push those prices up. Now, you think some people are just doing it for the, they're saying all these, you know, the ones that are futures, the future guys are trying to corner the market, and it's going to be all oil. Well, it's not true. Natural gas, which plays a big part in our country, is down. The price of that's down. This is oil, my friends. And then you've got Yemen right across from Egypt, and they're going through this right now with them. So what you've got is you could have a total takeover of that region. Now, they're saying right now the leader that has a chance is a gent by the name of Dr. Mohamed El-Baradei. Now, Dr. El-Baradei is a Nobel Prize winner, and he's on the nuclear teams and is more of a moderate, a Democrat moderate. However, you don't know. You know what it's going. You know what's going to happen. Is it going to be him? They're trying to line up behind him, the opposition groups. But then you've got the Islamic Brotherhood, which is pushing too. Now, if you want to draw a parallel between Egypt and Iran, we can try and do that. You can talk about what happens if our country pulls its support from Mubarak. If they don't help. If we just kind of like, okay, this is your business, and you know, at least give some kind of tacit support to Mubarak. What we've been saying is, hey, we've got to kind of let this democracy take its place. Well, yes, except look around. What impact can this have on us? Is the fact is if the Islamic Brotherhood gets into this, then you're going to have the Ayatollahs, you're going to have another Iran right on the Suez Canal.
And it does trickle down to the concerns of our local businesses. I mean, over the weekend, we dined at a local establishment, and the owner of that establishment, was able to get through the last couple years, which were, you know, have been tough times, and shared with us that they had a wonderful Christmas season. But his concern is they decided, rather than scale down over the holidays, that they increased, and they're ready to just keep working hard and offer the greatest that service and quality of food that they can. Biggest concern, gas prices going up, food prices going up, and what the turmoil in Egypt could possibly mean, like you're saying, Carl. And then, of course, I don't know why people, we talk about these things, we're in I think it's because we're always talking about things that are very topical, but as well as, you know, people are always saying, what about drilling? What about drilling in America? What about looking for our own oil here so we are not dependent on other countries?
Well, we could do that, and we could drill. We've got hundreds of millions of barrels of oil that we have access to, but then they took it. They took the drilling offshore off the plate. And, you know, it's true. It's horrible what happened with BP, but how many hundreds of thousands of hours of drilling have been done before that where there was no accident like this? You know, the point is that we do not have to depend on these other countries, and all these billions of dollars we're spending out. And not only that, but if we said, okay, look, we're going to use our own natural resources here, how many people do we put to work?
We're going to close off the borders, and we're going to see what we can do within our own United States in order to be able to survive and not count on other nations for our own success.
Well, that's one way of doing it. Hey, we got to take a break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. The radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Good morning. 7:54, January the 31st, 2011. Carl and Linda Bott here, 605-4567 is our phone lines, and we're chatting at KCNR1460.com.
Hey, Bob, what was that soundtrack from just then?
That's a track from Pink Floyd, and the track is called Learning to Fly.
Love it.
Okay, hey, let's go to the phones. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Carl and Linda.
Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. Yeah, hey, I just wanted to remind everybody that today at 4 o'clock at the Anderson River Park, we're doing a dedication for the young Anderson Marine, former Marine that was kidnapped and killed in Iraq. And I'd like to see as many people as can make it to come to support the family and show them how much we care about their loss.
Well, we're going to have we'll have our representatives from here. We'll be there. And I think that you know, remembering this young man today will kind of bring a lot of closure also to some people that this has affected so much.
Yeah, it's been a tragic, long journey. It's well over 2 years since this whole event, and this family has gone through a traumatic experience, not knowing for a long time what had happened and so forth. So I feel that the least we can do is take a little bit of time out of our day and show them that we care.
Now, the guys that did this, you want to talk about them a little bit, that did the bench?
Yeah, that was... Outdoor Creations here in Anderson, and they do a lot of the benches all over the all over the world, I guess. They're quite a large operation, but here in Anderson you see their work all over town. And when I went to order the bench after our collecting the donations, the owner of the company, Scott, he came and asked me about what it was for, and I told him, and he looked me in the eye and he said, "The bench is free." And I told him, "No, we've raised the money. We got the money. We're ready." And he just looked at me, "Don't embarrass me. The money, it's free." So they donated 100% of that bench. So I think they deserve accolades for that, for sure.
Well, I had him in the blog on Friday. I'm talking about this, and I called the company too just to give a personal thanks to them.
We started off this morning by giving them a shout out because of so many generous donations they have made in the North State with their, with their benches and other works that they do with Outdoor Creations.
Yeah, it's this part of the country definitely comes together for something like this. I'm not a community activist or organizer. I'm just a regular guy, and when I started this program, I was really worried about having the money raised. And when I started in just two events, I doubled the goal I'd set. I couldn't believe the generosity of the people. So,
well, this county. When you drive into this county, it says we honor our veterans. And it's true. You know, Shasta County, the North State honors their veterans. And it's just a tremendous, tremendous community. And, you know, we love it here. You know, that's one of the reasons is because of the people. You know, we've got our problems just like everybody else. You know, some of them self-induced, some of them caused by our state and federal government. But still, all in all, the people you meet care about each other.
Yeah, that's for sure. I was born in Susanville and raised in Weaverville and then left and came back, you know, a few years ago, and I'm just so proud to be, again, a part of this area of the country.
Well, hey, Jeff, thanks for everything you do with the Patriot Guard Riders, and we'll see you today at 4 o'clock, and we'll talk about it again before the 8 o'clock hour's out.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks,
Very good.
Jeff.
Look forward to seeing you guys.
You bet. Take care. How much time we got left here? 2 minutes?
Yeah, right around 2 minutes.
Okay. You know what? Super Bowl's coming up.
Well, it's really funny because, you know, as I look around on the internet, this is funny. It said, babies are wrapped it from Pittsburgh in terrible towels. And I'm, oh, my gosh, what's that? Well, in Pittsburgh, terrible towels are a birthright. The hospital in the Pittsburgh area is wrapping newborn babies this week in the yellow terrible towels favored by Steeler fans. It's in support of the team's run to Super Bowl, what are we talking, 15? Wait,
no,
wait,
35.
Is it 65 or 35?
I think it's 35. Yeah, there
you go. Yeah, there we go. See, Roman numerals. Take a brush up on your Roman numerals.
Perfect case of something out of context.
Yes,
the terrible
okay.
towels.
Yeah. Now, other thing along the lines of Super Bowl headline, Super Bowl may trigger heart attacks. It seems that fans can develop an emotional connection to their team, and when their team loses, it's an emotional stress. So in health.com, it says in this article that this Sunday Super Bowl could prove to be a real heartbreaker for some fans. I suggest that you eat and drink all you want.
To me,
enjoy your day.
By the way, our guest in the next hour is going to be City Councilman Patrick Jones, who's going to be talking about charter cities, but he's also going to be talking about this Costco. What's going on with Costco and the possible renovations there. We want to talk about that and maybe a couple other things that are going to come up. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, 8:05, January the 31st, last day of the month, 2011.
Yeah,
our phone lines are 605-4567. Give us a call. Or you can just jump on to the stream and the chat line at kcnr1460.com, as some of you have already.
Currently 39 degrees on this beautiful Monday morning, 8:05 in the morning. Today is going to be high of, what did I say?
I think it's 60.
I got my glasses 62. On, folks. It's such a drag. It's so small print. 66 with partly cloudy tonight. 37. Tomorrow we're going to have a beautiful sunny day, 65, with a low temperature of 34 degrees. We have a beautiful week ahead of us, and the weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Let's go to the phones.
Elizabeth, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine.
Great.
You guys had a great show yesterday.
Wasn't that good?
Yeah, I mean, talking about how you work your bills through Congress or through the Assembly and all that, and how you have to have them all in by now. I didn't realize that every bill that has to, that for the California Assembly and the Senate has to be in by, what, the 18th?
Yeah. And, you know, what's really wonderful about Karen England, who was our speaker, she's from the Capital Research Institute. And for those that didn't listen to We the People yesterday morning, she was a stay-at-home mom who was homeschooling her third child. And there were some federal bills that came down the pike trying to shut down the charter school that she was affiliated with in homeschooling her child, and that's how she originally got involved. And she managed, along with some others, to keep that charter school from being closed, and today it's the largest charter school system in the state of California. So that's when she learned that one person can make a difference.
Well, we're going to have one of the leaders of our charter school here in Reading on our show to talk about that, about charter schools and the things they're doing.
Excellent. Well, I would encourage people to go to the website CRI.org, which is the Capital Research Institute, and they are hosting on March 15th at the state capitol a day of working with legislatures and learning how to lobby. And like Karen said, I mean, if you try to talk somebody into buying you a cup of coffee, you're lobbying. So we all lobby every day. We just don't think that we can do it in the political arena. So I think a lot of us from the Tea Party are going to head down to that event in Sacramento on March 15th. But anyway, tonight at the Reading Tea Party at 6 o'clock at Bonneville Baptist Church, our Shasta County Supervisor Les Baugh from District 5 is going to be kind of explaining to everyone all of the different responsibilities that each supervisor actually has and all of the boards, commissions, and committees they're all involved in, above and beyond what you see on a Tuesday morning at a Board of Supervisors meeting. And he's also going to let everybody know what's available for everyday citizens to get involved in. So it's going to be all about Shasta County tonight.
Oh, you might ask him how much extra he gets paid for being on those boards, too.
I will. Good question.
Matt.
Hey, I missed you guys last week. When I was out of town.
Oh, okay.
Did you notice? It wasn't me that called in last Monday.
Yeah, I know that. But you know what? You know, one week we actually had, you know, nobody called in, and I thought,
We had a little miscommunication, but I just wanted to say very quickly, I don't want to tie up your line forever, but I was visiting my husband's aunt and uncle last week in Visalia, and he is 87, she is 85. He is a Merchant Marine veteran, and they belong to every veterans organization that exists in the state of California, and they go to all the meetings. And I have to tell you, they had a hard time squeezing us into their very busy schedule.
Oh, wow.
Well, I tell you,
it was absolutely, it was wonderful.
Right here, and I think in Shasta County, I think there's something like 37 or 38 veterans organizations. So when you start adding them up, it's tremendous amount here. Anything from military officers association, NCOs, and non-commissioned officers, and you've got Navy, Army, there's dozens of them. Anyway, hey Elizabeth, tonight at 6 p.m. at this at
thank
the
thank you for calling at
the Bonneville Baptist Church.
Okay,
and you two have an awesome week.
You too.
You too, Elizabeth. We'll see you. Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Our guest this morning is Patrick Jones. We're going to be talking about some of the city council report on what's been happening in charter cities. And you do want to weigh in, 605-4567. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages on KCNR 1460.
KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. 8:13 in the morning, January the 31st, 2011. The last day of January for this year. This portion of the show is brought to you by Lumberjacks, 501 East Cypress. Just talking about their pick and pair lunch, available Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can have a soup and salad combo, a soup and sandwich combo, and a salad and sandwich combo. The least expensive $6.99, the most expensive $7.99. What a great deal. Again, great food, good portions, local business. That's Lumberjacks at 501 East Cypress. We eat there. We've always had great service. And the food's really good. How can you beat that?
Currently 8:14 in the morning, 39 degrees. And our guest this morning, as promised, former mayor and on city council, Patrick Jones. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Linda. Thank you for having me.
It's always good. You know what? You are truly a public servant in the sense that that whenever you're called, you come, and we appreciate that so much. And we're going to be covering a lot of things today. I know Charter City has been something that's really been on the lips of many of, and minds of many of our citizens here in the North State.
No, it's very important, and it's very important that this charter, a constitution, is done well. And so council has picked 10 people to be on an exploratory committee, and we will ratify that decision on the next council meeting this next Tuesday. So that's pretty exciting, and the list of those names was reported in the paper.
You know, we had Dick Dickerson on the show, and we talked about the charter. And we like having Dick on the show.
Uh-huh.
First of all, he's just he's just straight out, and just like every, we have found that, I believe, in almost all of the people on the city council, all of y'all, And in fact, almost in every case, are people so straight when you ask them questions from either our chat room, we ask them, or people call in, Patrick. But I was under the impression that he just wasn't sold on this charter city. And then when he voted for it, I was thought, well, that's interesting. He's going to give it a chance. He's going to let this committee go out there and come back with recommendations. I think that's the right thing to do. I can't understand why somebody wouldn't vote on that, because we're not voting on Charter City. We're just exploring the possibility of it.
Well, and and I agreed with Councilman Dickerson that we should allow the people to go forward and to explore this idea. And if this is going to work, if it's going to be a good constitution, it needs to be done by the people, for the people. And how are the people going to have that opportunity if we don't give it to them? So this was an opportunity to help to move things forward, and I appreciate Councilman Dickerson's support on that, to do that and to move that forward. Clearly, there are things that make me nervous as well. A poorly written constitution would be very bad for Reading. And so, it should make every council member concerned, and it does. But I think we have a good committee. This exploratory committee of 10 people, these are some very bright and intelligent people, and they're from all across the spectrum here in Reading, in our community. And so I think we're going to see a very good recommendation coming back to council, and I hope, but it's yet to be seen, all people that are interested come to council and come to this committee hearings that they will have over the next 4 months and get their opinions to us and tell us what they think. This is an opportunity for the public to have a say in their local constitution.
Okay, some of the questions coming in, Patrick. Are charter cities more fiscally stable in today's climate than non-charter cities? And do you have examples?
Well, the idea here is that as we do a charter is only as good, and it hasn't, we're putting the cart before the horse a bit. You can look at almost all the large cities in California, and they are charter cities. And essentially, they have eliminated some of the state mandates from Sacramento, and they've created some of their own municipal control the best that they can. Obviously, certain state laws, we're going to have to abide by those as well. And a charter is only as good as the people running it and the people watching. And so it neither helps nor hurts in that regard, in my opinion. It's only as good as the document is written. And I believe that it allows the public to have more local say and more local control over their city hall. And I think that's a good thing.
Okay, when you say that, we get a strange law that's foisted on us by the state. Let's just use as an example, taking these people out of jails and bringing them back to Reading. Do we have anything to say about that at all, if as a charter city as opposed to a non-charter city?
Well, again, we only and I'm reading the state constitution again today, and our California constitution is quite lengthy, and it talks about charter cities, it talks about charter counties, and what is municipal affairs and what is not. And under a charter city, you have control over municipal affairs, and that's not always such a black and white, defined situation. But if it's considered a municipal affair, and you're a charter city, you're not necessarily bound to those state mandates. So if it's considered a state affair, state law, then you are.
Okay, we're gonna have to take a break here. So what we're saying is it better financially for the city or fiscally for the city? That depends on how the charter is written. And it also depends, if we're talking about the city council and the mayor, and it doesn't have to be this way.
Doesn't have
but
to.
But being paid for their services, so it's a full-time job, that would to me mean we could probably take some people out of the city government that's working there. But I also see it adding people too, besides just the city council and the mayor, their assistants and such, unless you're just transferring people over to jobs.
Those are all things that are yet to be determined, and mm-hmm. I really do believe that there would be a cost savings, not an increase. And again, those are the details
that has to come out as they move forward. But that would be my concern. I think it's a concern of a lot of people is the fiscal side of it. And are we going to save money on this, or is this going to be an old boys network all of a sudden, as we've seen in some other cities? Anyway, we've got to take a break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460s. We will get to all of your questions on, we start talking Cyprus and Costco and all that when we come back. You're listening back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. 823, January the 31st. What a great day it is. It's going to be a beautiful day. It's 39 degrees right now, but it's going to get up to 67. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. 244-1988. Doug Tooley puts in Dish Satellite. He guarantees his work. He's a local guy. He's been open since 1985, except for the time he was in the 82nd Airborne. That's Doug Tooley, B&T Satellite. 244-1988. Give him a call. Our guest, Patrick Jones from the City Council. We're talking Charter City. We're moving forward with the Charter City, at least the part where we've put together two-man teams, so it'll be 10 of them. They're going to be getting together and researching out into what the Charter City is and does. Let's go to the phones. Bruce, good morning. You are on KCNR.
Good morning, gentlemen. Patrick, can that be written up on a Charter City to where you can get rid of prevailing wage on jobs that's created here, or would there be some legality if the jobs have federal or state money coming in that really wouldn't matter?
It does matter, and keep in mind that we have some excellent examples of charter cities here in California. We have over 120 as it is, and 37 of those cities have decided that they would have on local monies, local prevailing wage. And so that would mean that under the idea that if state and federal monies were being used, you would pay state prevailing wage, but when local monies were used, that they would create their own local prevailing wage. Now, that makes sense to me, and that is something that the commission, the committee that's formed, will look into, and they will make that decision, and then they will report back to council and go from there. So all those things are yet to be determined, but yes, there is a way with a charter city. It cannot be done in a general law city that we are today, that you could have a local prevailing wage on local monies. And so I hope
did that answer your question, Bruce?
Sure did. I can't hear you on this phone, so I was listening on the radio. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Well, it is a big, important point. And again, those are things that are yet to be thought out. And, Carl, you mentioned two-man teams. There's really not teams here. There's just 10 people that are picked at large.
Okay.
A wide spectrum. And they will be holding public hearings over the next 4 months. And that is an opportunity for every citizen of Reading to come forward and to learn and to give their input and to learn. And so there are certainly lots of details. I'm not giving a lot of details because it's not up to me. This is a committee of our citizens that are going to be listening to the people, and they're going to make decisions, and then they're going to report back to council. And so I don't want to say this is what we're going to do because it's not up to me. It's up to the committee, and it's up to the people.
Okay. The 10 people on there, they range from people that are involved with We the People, one of our shows, or Tea Party, to union.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That is correct.
So it's pretty much a cross-section, you would say. Would you say it's a cross-section of our community?
I do, you know, and like council. You know, I don't always agree with every council member, but I think the council members represent the people that elected for them. I think this committee will do a good job. They have some very smart people here. And they will differ on ideas, and that is good. That is not a bad thing.
You know, I'm not sold on a charter city. And,
you've said that before.
I know, and I'll continue to say that. But here's what I think is correct, is that we are going forward with it, that I can go there and I can see these, that you know, I can see what's coming out. And then from when they provide their report, and I hope there's a due date on this.
It's a four-month committee.
Okay, in 4 months, then we can see what it says, and then we the people can vote. Citizens of Reading will be able to vote on this one way or the other?
Ultimately, it'll come back. And those decisions yet, depending on what the council decides, we could then create a committee to draft the charter. We could formulate the charter ourselves and present it based off the information that we got. And, of course, the council could not pay attention to the committee at all, which would be a bad thing. We've done it before, though. And we could draft our own charter and submit it to the population, and they could vote on it. So there's a multitude of ways, all yet to be discovered yet.
Okay. All right, good. Okay. Frankly, I think that for the charter city, till we start having meetings, that this is kind of like, okay, we're moving forward with this, going to something that's also important. In the papers and, as you know, Costco in the city have been linked together. We've got like about 2 minutes. You want to talk about that?
Well, we
at least
do.
Begin it, because I've got a lot of questions here from people
sure.
that have to do with the Oasis interchange and a number of other things.
much of this is yet to be determined, and some of it is confidential information, so unfortunately I won't be able to talk about certain aspects of it. It is true that we have called a special meeting of the Reading Redevelopment Agency, and that agency and the Costco Wholesale Corporation will sit down, and we'll have a closed session, because this is possibly regarding prices and terms of their existing building. And that's about as much as I can say on that, and that is attorney-client privileged information, and so we will be discussing, and we will moving forward from there. What I can say about Costco, and really many other type of large warehouses, is that most warehouses, if they are in their ultimate location and the size that they ultimately like, obviously they're happy with where they're at. And most of us in the private sector realize that if we're not growing, we tend to be dying. And I believe that this is the mentality of Costco, in that they want a larger location, a larger warehouse, and they want to have the gas station and so forth that you see in other cities. And they're going to need the ability to have higher volume, and they believe Reading is the right place to expand. And of course, that excites me as a council member, that they are excited about expanding and staying here in Reading, because it's very important to keep our tax base. And so none of these details are set in stone today, but I can say I am certain that it is important for the council to work with any of our businesses to make sure that they stay in Reading.
Okay. Okay, we've got to take a break here for the news. When we come back, I want to talk about the Oasis Interchange. I want to talk about Stillwater, too, Patrick, because there's a lot of questions about that. Well, why not there? Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460.
Come back. Good morning, North State. Welcome back. You want to say it? Do your John Wayne.
Welcome back there. Listen up and listen tight.
You can't help it. I love it. Anyway, we love it too. KCNR 1460, you're just tuning in. Carl and Linda Bott here. Our guest is Patrick Jones. We want to say thank you to our sponsors. This portion of the show is brought to you by Mike's Music and Sound. 243-3774. You'll find Mike's Music and Sound on the backside of where the Pine Street Safeway is. It's off of Cypress, actually. And go in there and check out their sound equipment, their musical equipment. They have rehearsal rooms. They teach lessons. They have people who really know about instruments and can share their knowledge with you. If you're looking to buy a new musical instrument and learn all about the instrument, they will do all-inclusive packages. Mike's Music and Sound.
Okay, our guest is Patrick Jones. And we've talked about the charter city, but we put that one to rest. We've got the committee. It's going to move forward. They're going to take a look at it. And let's start talking a little bit about Costco and the Oasis. A lot of the questions coming in here is the Oasis Interchange. Can it take that thousands and thousands of cars we're talking about?
Yes, right now.
If Costco moves out there?
Well, the whole idea is that the interchange at Oasis is certainly... it's the original interchange. I think the actual span itself was poured in 65. That's at least the date on the structure. To my knowledge, no improvements have ever made that. That is inside the Reading city limits. And today we are finishing. We're not quite done yet with the southbound loop on-ramp, and that will help more traffic congestion in that area. Is that the final solution? Absolutely not. The interchange is the responsibility of the city of Reading. It does fall within our city. It is not a Caltrans project. It is the city's project. And ultimately, before large-scale developing can go on at Oasis, that whole interchange will need to be done. But the loop on-ramp will allow for some. Somewhere, I think the numbers are between 150,000 square feet, maybe as much as 300,000 square feet. So that's what could occur. And because that is happening as we speak, now there are businesses interested in moving to Oasis because they can develop up to a certain size, and that is going to have some interest. It has I-5 corridor, which is extremely important for certain businesses to have that kind of volume. And whether it's important to Costco or any others, will yet to be seen. And those are things that are important to corporations, and they'll have to work those details out as we move forward. But the opportunity, as we complete the infrastructure, businesses then can develop in those areas. And that's been the big hang-up in that area for the last 20 years, is that the infrastructure has not been there, and it's been deficient. And we are improving it today, and it will need to be improved in the future.
Okay. When you talk about that, more businesses moving out to Oasis like that, what impact is that going to have on Stillwater? We've just got Stillwater started, it appears. We have one, maybe two businesses, one in a roll in there. I mean, does this take an emphasis off of Stillwater when we've got so much money tied into that?
Well, Stillwater is a business park. It has really nothing to do with high-volume retail warehousing. These are two very different things. You know, this, even though we're in a global recession, we're not done planning for the future. The city is still growing. The business park is a standalone situation where the city of Reading is trying to attract light industry to Reading. That light industry, you know, is very different than a Costco that would not be appropriate in Stillwater, nor would a light industry be appropriate at Oasis. And so there's areas that we do those things, and you know, Costco or any other major warehouse couldn't survive. There's no volume behind the airport.
I couldn't see that either.
You know,
that.
To work.
You know, the other thing too is somebody's also asked, well, what about putting government offices out there? Anything?
Well, the whole idea was that it was a business park. If we fill it up with light industry style things, then you don't really have a business park. And we paid a lot of infrastructure dollars to create good paying jobs, and that is the goal. The city will continue on with that goal. We're not so desperate that we're going to fill it up with anything. It is a light industry business park, and we will continue to search for such businesses that could relocate here and do those things. And there are some promising things that are happening. Nothing yet. Nothing set in stone. Time will ultimately tell.
Well, Mark LaSalle was on the other day, and he's feeling very upbeat about the potential for Stillwater. He's got, I think, one company, maybe two companies, and others being some interest out there.
There is always some interest, and it is of an interest to us. We've spent $25 million of public funds, so it's certainly of an interest to all of us, and all the council members are concerned about it, and we're hopeful. This is a very tough time to attract, light industry to California and Northern California. We will do what we can.
Okay. We have a lot of questions from the chat room. If you've got a phone, if you want to talk to Patrick, 605-4567. We're going to take a quick break here. Carl Lindebach, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460. The home of Free Fire Media, Carl and Linda Bott. 8:43 in the morning, January the 31st. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. It's in the Cypress Square Shopping Center right off Athens. Man's Last Stronghold. Great haircuts, great prices. They support our community, and veterans get a discount there. And when I say Man's Last Stronghold, that's exactly what I mean. You're not going to see Oprah or Dr. Phil. No, there's nothing wrong with Oprah, but they do not play that on the TV set. Okay, we're talking NASCAR. We're talking manly programs. So that Cypress Square Barbershop, great place to get a haircut. They support our community. Okay, our guest is Patrick Jones from the City Council. We've been talking now the interchange and who pays for the Oasis interchange if Costco moves out there, for all these improvements.
Well, they do. There's a bunch of roads, interconnecting roads. There's a lot of traffic impact fees that they will be subject to, and it's quite costly. And, they're going to be all the side roads and all the traffic signals and things that are associated with their development, they will be paying for that. And it's quite expensive, and it is something that they figure into to see if it's feasible at all. And if, in fact, that they do move out there, or any other company that moves out there. And infrastructure costs are always so expensive. And it is the reason why the interchange itself at Oasis Road is still not done. Can you imagine? That is poured in 1965, over 40 years old with no improvements. And the reason why, it's very expensive. And so it still sits unimproved today. And before really ultimate development of that area has to occur, it will have to be paid for, and it will allow for limited expansion in that area. And as we know, I-5 corridor with approximately 100,000 cars a day is very important for companies looking to locate here or to expand here. And most of them need or want to go to that type of volume. And whether it's in the city limits or not, they're going to be attracted to areas that have enough infrastructure to allow them to develop in those areas. And it might be inside the city limits, and it might not. This is really the last major development within our city limits on the I-5 corridor. There is no other for us.
If we don't work this deal with Costco at Oasis, do you believe they're going to go to Knighton, the Knighton Road?
Well, that's a very good question. You know, the company, I believe, is serious about building a larger, better Costco. I believe that. And they are motivated to be able to do that. But it does have to pencil out for them. And I believe they are motivated to move. And where that ultimately is very important to this region. And it's very important to me as a Reading City Council member that I do what I can to try to keep them in our city, Reading, California. And Oasis Road is an area that is ripe for development today, at least a small amount. And it has things that a big warehouse, I think, would be interested in. Time will tell. All these things will be discussed. And so
but
we'll
you
see.
Want it, but let's, you want Costco to stay here. You would like it to go to Oasis Road. I mean, if they're going to move, you want it to stay within the city.
They're a great business, and we want to keep our great businesses here in town. So absolutely, I want them to stay here in Reading. But I leave those decisions up to them. They're a big corporation. And they make those decisions as to where they think they can do well and expand their operation and do better. Those aren't City of Reading decisions. That's private sector decisions, and those are decisions that company will ultimately make. We're here to help. We're here to help companies come to Reading and or stay in Reading, and we're trying to do what we can.
Okay, a lot of these questions that you're hearing are coming from our chat room, and this one is, Does Reading have enough money to make the changes with Costco, you know, with the interchange, we've talked about that, get the building, buy the building, and retrofit it?
Those are all yet to have discussions, to be honest. And so I can't really talk about things that haven't happened, especially in a situation where we have a special meeting of the Reading Redevelopment Agency. Those are all things yet to be discussed. And so I couldn't really confirm or deny, as we say, any of those types of ideas. And obviously, council will talk about this issue on Tuesday, and we'll see where those discussions lead and move forward to, in a positive manner, I hope. But yet to be discussed.
Well, we're going to have our city council consigliere, Gary Cadd's going to be here on Wednesday right after the meeting. We're going to talk about what happened there. For those that don't have a chance to go to the city council, we discuss it the day after at 7:30 in the morning. So, okay, we got to take a break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Our guest is Patrick Jones, city council member. We've been talking about charter cities. We've been talking about the Oasis Interchange. We've been talking about Costco and Stillwater. We're going to come back and answer all your questions or get to as many of them as we can on the other side. Back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, 8:53 in the morning, January the 31st, last day, January.
Remember, if you haven't bought your tickets for the Shasta Women's Refuge Crab Feed, that is the huge event that is happening on Saturday night. And we've donated, I'm really excited, we've donated a dinner at our house. And Valerie Ing Miller with the Caesar salad and just, wines and the whole thing. So, anyway, there's all kinds of wonderful things that they have at the silent and the live auction.
It's not going to be cooked by us.
It's actually Market Street Wines. Brian has put together a menu that is unbelievable. Yes, so we're just having a good time. But, you know, if you are looking to do something that's really fun, that's going to give to a wonderful organization, the Shasta Women's Refuge, of course, has been so many cuts. They could use all the help they can get, and that's their biggest fundraiser of the year. Currently 44 degrees right now. It's going to be high of a 76 today.
67.
66. Where are all these numbers coming from?
Yeah, I don't know. They're pretty.
It's going to be high. It's going to be 66, my paper says. All right.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, that's what he said, 66, right?
Let's get back on subject.
Okay, hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. finest walking humidor in the state. They support our community. They support our veterans. Joe and Shelley are great Americans. They support our community. Hey, our guest is Patrick Jones, city council member. And we're talking about, we've only got like, maybe 3 minutes left, Patrick. Okay, we want to talk about Costco. We want to talk about the interchange. What's the last things you want to hit on here?
Well, you know, the Costco, possible connection. And again, all those things are yet to be determined, and time will tell ultimately some of those situations. But I did want to talk about Oasis and why we used our American Reinvestment and Recovery Act funds at Oasis as opposed to somewhere else. And that was around $2.2 million, as I recall, to do that loop on-ramp. That particular reinvestment funds were to get people working and to put money on the ground immediately for projects that were ready to go. And this was able to do that, and it kept construction workers working for a while. And we're in the winter break right at the moment, but and we'll finish up here in early spring. And because of that work and the improvements that have been made now or about to be completed at Oasis, it will allow for a certain amount of development to occur. And that's obviously going to get the attention of different companies. And that's an exciting time for Reading, for companies to be interested to come to the I-5 corridor to either to expand or to relocate here. And that's good for Reading. That is activity within the city limits that will bring dollars into City Hall and help us pay for all the important things that we do, police, fire, roads, infrastructure, and so forth. And so I think this is an exciting time. We'll see what happens. And, Reading is still growing, and we're certainly not done with all of our infill projects. And Oasis Road is certainly well inside the city limits. And it has never really been developed. And with this work being completed, we will start to see the first stage of possible some anchors coming to this area. And to me, that's exciting. At least it gives the opportunity for companies to possibly come there. And the infrastructure enough is there that we would have the ability to at least get some there. And that's exciting for Reading, and that helps put more money on the ground in a time that we're desperate for new cash coming into City Hall.
Okay. Hey, we've got like about a minute left here before we have to make a couple other announcements, but the election was a lot of consternation during the election.
Hadn't noticed.
You probably hadn't noticed that, the fact that people were throwing paint on your car. Has it settled down? Do you feel like everybody's back together again? I was just kidding about the paint.
Oh, I was going to say, gosh, really? I didn't hear about that, literally?
I was just kidding about the paint. That was me.
Well, it's the election was a very difficult time, and but ultimately elections come and they go. That was my fourth election, and I've lost twice and I've won twice, so I'm very familiar with elections and what happens. You either win or you lose. And
gotta hang in there.
I'm quite happy with either decision, and it's up to the people to make those decisions. And I'm always impressed with the voters. I always have been, and I always believe they do the right thing. And this was an election where, to be honest, at the start, that I really didn't necessarily want to run again. But I had so many people come forward and say, you really need to stay the course, that you're on the right course. We appreciate what you're doing. The public responded, sent me and Rick Bozzetti back to City Hall to continue the work that we've started. Our ballot initiatives passed overwhelmingly. That sent a message, and we have to carry on.
And we've got to end right here, but I hope that we're working together. That's the big thing, is working together for the better of our city. But I mean, all parties there.
Well, we have tough decisions, and it's clear we have to start reducing our spending in a global recession, and we're moving forward in a positive way.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, Patrick, for being here. I want to remind everybody that at 4 o'clock today out at Anderson River Park in the veterans area there's going to be a bench commemorated for Corporal Joshua Munns. That's 4 o'clock today at the Anderson River Park. I hope you join us out there for this day. It's Josh's 28th birthday is today. So it's being held on his birthday out at Anderson River Park. Okay, other guests we have this week, we're ranging from, I think we may have a chance to have Congressman Herger on this week. It'll be either this week or next week. We've got Norma Comnick from Anderson. We've got Bo from Rockies cycle telling you how to get your bike ready for the season. It's getting ready that we can start riding again here soon with this type of weather.
Looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah. We have a Red Cross emergency. We've got it all. We're going to be talking about the city council on Wednesday morning. We've got it all covered this week. And it keeps growing like this. So thanks a lot for joining us today. And, hey, remember about our sponsors. They're the reason that we're here. So go out there and support our sponsors. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is KCNR, Shasta Redding.